we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Really important day in my life, and I'm glad to be celebrating that today. June the 20th. No, it's not my birthday, but if it wasn't for this day, I wouldn't be here. And so I'm very, very thankful. So I'm off celebrating with my parents today. Today's their anniversary, and I'm honoring them and spending some time with them. So praise the Lord for parents, and thankful that for what God is doing and done in their life. So praise the Lord. Want to invite you out. We will be having midweek services tomorrow. Somebody will be there and filling in for me, and want to encourage you to come out and be a part. We're going to have prayer and Bible study for the adults beginning at 7. Kids ministry starts at 6. There's food there, and we're really excited. I believe we're sending our largest group of kids to camp this summer that we have ever sent, and that's really exciting for us, because camp can be a transformative experience for them. And for the kids that come to our church, we're actually scholarshipping many of them to be able to go to camp. And that's a pretty hefty chunk of change, but it is money well spent. I would rather see my kid going to camp and having an encounter with Jesus than staying at home, being bored, and having an encounter with Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo, whatever it might be. So I'm really excited about what God is doing in our kids and youth ministries. And so those will be coming up here in the days ahead. I want to take you back to Isaiah chapter 66 today. Isaiah chapter 66. And we're going to be wrapping this up here in the next couple of days. We finally come to the end of the book of Isaiah. But verse number 12 says this: "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then you shall feed, on her side shall you be carried, and be dandled on her knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouth shall be consumed together, says the Lord." So we're going to touch on some of this today. And I had a statement that I made earlier in the year to our congregation, and that is that those who live in the land of darkness, light is offensive. And those who live in the land of deception, truth is offensive. But for those who are longing for truth and those who are longing for light, those who declare the truth, those who point people to the light, those people actually are agents used by God to bring refreshing. I don't know how people stand it when they are surrounded by people who lie to them all the time. That would be so insulting to me. I have this picture of when somebody lies to me intentionally, that they picture that I have a big L on the top of my head that says that I'm a loser, that they don't that I don't deserve to have anybody tell me the truth. And so I want to be a beacon of light. I want to be a a person that proclaims truth, no matter where people are spiritually on their journey, because if they're in darkness, they're going to say, wait a minute, what in the world was that? What in the world was that? And maybe by telling them the truth in love, they will have seeds planted inside of them that is going to create a pursuit of truth and righteousness in their life. So here God says in verse number 12, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Now, you have to go back up into verses 10 and 11 to see that what God is saying here is that when Israel is restored, when Jerusalem is restored, that he is going to dispatch blessing upon that city, upon that community, and that it's going to be a glorious experience, and there is going to be peace, substantial peace, refreshing peace. And I'm not talking about just tranquility. We've talked about that before. But I'm talking about where things are flowing the direction that God wants them to flow. And the thing about peace and glory that God is describing here in verse number 12 is that it is not supposed to be plugged up. There is supposed to remain a flow. If the river is flowing, and that yet there is no outlet, it is going to create a sea, and it's going to create a sea of death. That's what happens in Israel. The Dead Sea has no place for the water to go. It comes in, but it has no outlet. And anytime you see that, the water either becomes stagnant or it becomes a pool of compilation of minerals, and things cannot live there. And you and I, we need to realize not only is the community that we live in not supposed to have no outlet, but whatever God does for us, the truth that God has. I pray that if you hear something that resonates in your spirit as a word of life, that you will pass that along to somebody else. Please don't just say, wow, that made me feel good for a moment. Maybe you have a coworker that throughout the day you're going to hear something. Maybe you got a coworker who is experiencing a great deal of anxiety, and maybe just this word that says God wants to extend peace like a river, maybe that could be a word that you could share with that coworker that is going to be a blessing to them. And for that person that thinks that life just stinks and it's never going to get any better, you can say, wait a minute, God wants to give and extend glory so that it is a glorious experience and not a mundane experience, not a torturous experience, not just something that is in the routine. And so God wants those. And he says, then you shall feed on her side, shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Right here, God is saying to this group of people that it is very important to be in community. You are not meant to go through life all by yourself. You're not supposed to go. And so here God says, I'm going to restore Jerusalem. You're going to be glad with her. You're going to love her. You're going to rejoice with her. You're going to feed and you're going to be satisfied. It's going to be peaceful. There is going to be delight. There's going to be abundance. And it is going to be beneficial to you. In fact, because of your relationship with this glorious restoration of Jerusalem and Israel that you have, that it's going to be, it's going to be like a mother carrying a child. You know, I realize that so much of our life we are struggling to create some sort of functional independence where we can function on our own. I think it's very important that I'm very thankful that I can feed myself. I can, to a limited extent, clothe myself. There's not a functional limitation there. There may be a stylistic challenge that my wife would want to accentuate there. And so if you see most of my outfits, those are outfits my wife has picked out because she's in charge of that. You know, I've got clothes and I can put them on, but she likes them to be functional. So you and I, we have that functional independence. We like to be able to be on our own financially. We like to be able to function intellectually and whatever needs to be done. But when it comes to the spiritual dynamic that is being talked about here, when you're talking about emotional and things like that, God said, I am going to have a blessing that I bestow upon her, a specific type of relationship. And because of the blessing that I give to her, it is going to be a relationship that will sustain you like a mother that is carrying around a child. On her side shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. Now, I will be honest with you. In all of my life, that is the first time that I had ever focused on the word dandled. And so as I was studying and preparing for this, I went to the dictionary and said, first of all, I'm going to be on the radio. How do you pronounce that word? And it was dandled. And second, what does it mean? And it means that you are just going to be resting on your mother's knee. It's going to be a place of rest. It goes on and says in verse number 13 that it's going to be a place of comfort. Do you realize that God has no plan for you to go through torturous, agonizing emotional distress or things like that? God wants you to feel safe. He wants you to experience His peace, His joy. He wants you to be comforted. The Holy Spirit, we just celebrated Pentecost Sunday earlier this month. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, one of His specific assignments is to be the comforter. And that means the one who is called alongside to help. And I can't think of too much that brings greater comfort than knowing that there is a relationship of covering, that's a parental covering. You know, when my kids were growing up, they're all grown now, and some of them have I've got a grandchild. And so they are now experiencing what it is like to have that responsibility and that protection for their kids. When my kids were growing up, not one time did they ever wonder where the next meal was going to come from. Never one time did they wonder how the bills were going to be paid or any of that sort of stuff, because that wasn't their responsibility. Their responsibility was to grow up. Their responsibility was to think like a child when they were a child, and then think like an adult when they became an adult. And so we walked with them through that process. How much peace does it bring to you knowing that you are really not, you know, we just came through Father's Day, and let me say this to the men. We bear this responsibility that society has placed upon us to be the provider, and we should take that responsibility very seriously. You and I, we need to provide for our families, but ultimately God is my provider. And so if I'm experiencing a lack, I can pray Psalm 23, God, you're my shepherd. And I will not experience lack with you in control. And so if I can bring you just a little bit of relief, refreshing relief, that if you are doing your part, God will say, you know what? You can trust me with this. You can trust me with this. And so he says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You know, when my kids were growing up again, they tended to go to their mother for comfort. And they came to me for other things. like money. I'm just having a little bit of fun here. Although a friend of mine did say he told me that he had opened up the branch of the Bank of Dad when his kids had reached a certain age, and so we talk about that. Thank God that they could come to me and say, "Hey, Dad, you know, are we old? Can I have a little bit of money here for Steak and Shake or something like that?" But there were other things that they come to me for besides comfort and besides money, and that was they would come to me and ask me, "What about this situation here, Dad? What do I do in this situation?" And it's not that they never came to me and got comfort, and it's not that they never went to my wife and asked for her wisdom and her insight, because she has great wisdom and insight. But primarily they went to her for comfort, and primarily they came to me for wisdom. And like I say, they're not exclusive. That's why I said primarily. God wants us to know that he is our source of comfort. And he said, "And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." You know, one of the first things that I ask whenever people call and they begin to ask for help in a situation, if it's a cold call, somebody that I don't know, one of the first questions I ask them is, "Where do you go to church? Where do you go to feed your soul? Where do you go for spiritual guidance?" Because you need to be in community. You need to be in fellowship. And God will provide comfort in that community. He says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." And so as a believer right now, let me bring this back to another application. I can see God in his restoration of Israel, God in his blessing upon Jerusalem. I can see that, and I can take great comfort in that, even though I've never been to Jerusalem. I've never been to Israel. I can take great comfort that God has honored his word in their existence, and that means that he will also be faithful to the promises that he's made in his word to me. That never will he leave me. Never will he forsake me, and I can trust him. I can count on him. I am thankful that one day the eastern sky is going to part, the trumpet is going to sound, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those who have already passed away, and together to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I can take great comfort in that. So, verse number 14, "When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants." So God is not talking about just making a promise that he has no intention of keeping. He is saying, "I am going to do this, and when you see it," okay, "when you see it." The scripture says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick." And so we don't want to, God's not going to constantly be kicking the can down the road for the fulfillment of promises. He says, when you see me restoring Jerusalem, when you see me restoring Israel, your heart shall rejoice. Okay. Now the Bible describes that in the last days that there would be a man of lawlessness that would come. And there are many prophetic things that are talked about that are coming to fulfillment in our day and time. I had a conversation with a brother several years ago. I just happened to run into him at the mall. And as I was talking to him about end time events, he looked at me and he said, "Bob, the prophecies, the word of God have to come to pass." And I don't forget that conversation. I can't remember most of the conversations that we've had with him, that I've had with him through the years. But I remember him saying, "Look, what God said in his word has got to come to pass. The man of lawlessness and the spirit of Antichrist will rise in prominence in the last days. But I can take confidence and be comforted that Jesus is going to come again. The second coming of Christ, I remember the night I was baptized, I was already scheduled to be baptized. My mother was baptized. I was baptized. My brother, my sister were baptized. All of us were baptized on the same night. And it was in a brand new facility that our church had built in Oklahoma. And on New Year's Eve, they showed a movie called A Thief in the Night. And it talked about what life would be like after the return of Christ. And there were many people that, as they saw that movie and realized the torture and the persecution, and folks, it is not mythical. There is greater amounts of Christian persecution going on in the 2100s than there were in the 0 to 100 era. Any time in history, there are more Christians being persecuted and many times martyred right now than throughout the history of the world. And so it's not a fantasy. It's not something that's to be taken lightly. But instead of being, how do I want to say this? Scared into a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that when we talk about the return of Christ and the rapture of the saints, that we are supposed to comfort one another with these words. And so it goes right back to that comfort passage, that comfort topic, that God says, look, when you see prophecies beginning to come to pass, be comforted, have a great deal of hope and expectation, and cause your heart to rejoice. So whenever you hear that Israel, in the news, it's one of the most often talked about countries in the world. You know, you rarely hear about many countries, but you hear about Israel almost every day. And so whenever you hear about that, that Israel is in existence, let your heart rejoice, because God said he was going to do that. And he said, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The other day, we were praying, and it was during a stretch where we had had many, many days of rain in a row. And I was, well, let's see, I think it was last Wednesday night. I don't remember exactly when it was. But anyway, it was during a stretch there where there had been a lot of rain. And when I pray, I pace back and forth. I have a spot in the sanctuary, and that's where I go, and that's where I pray. And because I'm walking back and forth, I tend to have my eyes open so that I don't trip and fall and hurt myself. And there's a window at each end, and we have a plant there. And what I saw as I was pacing back and forth and walking, I saw one of the plants that was right outside of that window, and because there had been so much rain, there was new growth that was taking place there. And I said to myself, that's a plant that's healthy, and it is taking advantage of the nutrition that is being offered to it, and it is growing. And new growth looks different than old growth. New growth is, on this particular plant, is a light green. It's just bursting with life. And the older the leaves got, the older growth, the things that had been around there for a while, it was a little bit more dark in coloration. But the two of them were connected. And I pray that God will use you and he will use me as agents or conduits that he can bring new growth to this community, new growth in the kingdom. And I tell you, every church needs new believers. New believers are exciting. Your church needs to minister to young people. Ministering to young people, kids and teenagers, it is exciting. Because You get to see the light bulb go on spiritually. You get to see them and the excitement that they have for the things of God. And so I pray if your church doesn't have those things that you'll do what we did several years ago, and you will begin to intentionally focus in prayer and activity on reaching those. And God says here in this passage, your bones shall flourish like grass. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that God wants your bones healthy. I believe he wants your heart healthy. I believe he wants your mind healthy. I believe he wants your muscles strong and healthy. I believe that he wants you healthy in every aspect of your life, not just spiritually, but mentally, emotionally, and physically. And so I encourage you to believe God. If you need healing, I tell you, I believe that God can heal of osteoporosis. I believe that he can heal of muscular skeletal issues. I believe that he can heal joints. I believe that he can make you healthy. And so when you see that, say, I'm not only going to rejoice in my heart, but I'm going to experience health in my body. Okay? That's what I believe. And it says, the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. Now, there's two things that I can tell you that God wants for us to experience. One is his face, and if you'll allow me to turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Okay? So we need to be seeking the face of God. We need to be looking for the attributes and the characteristics of God to become a reality in our life. We need to be holy as he is holy. But I will also tell you this, that when we have his face, we're going to have his hand. Too many people spend much of their time focusing on provision instead of the person and the presence of God. But I will tell you, if we will humble ourselves, if we will seek his face, if we will seek him, when he comes, his provision will come with him. And so I want to tell you today that for the servants of God, he wants to make his hand known in your life. You know, I'm so thankful for his provision. I'm so thankful that God is a hands-on God. And I tell you, I wouldn't want to live without him. I don't know how people make it without God in their life. Father, today, Lord, I pray that peace would and comfort would become a reality in the lives of everyone here. God, I pray that hearts would be healthy. I pray that bones would be healthy. And God, I pray that your hand would be manifest in the lives of every person in this community. We give you glory in Jesus' name. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.